You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, new Cleveland Browns gear is arriving weekly. Stop into the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. One of the favorite parts of this show, because it's Monday, and we do this on each Monday on CBD, we bring in Gerard Cherry, the three-time Super Bowl champ, for three topics. Gerard, how was your weekend?
My weekend was grand. I got a chance to watch Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer go out there, as well as Connor Shaw and Thigpen as well. But I had a really good, productive weekend, and that's all you can ask for.
So you were there at Family Day, and you know, of course, what happened today. Johnny Manziel taking the first team reps. The head coach saying this was the plan all along. But in any way, do you think this was influenced by what we saw over the weekend from Johnny?
Oh, I certainly do, because had Johnny went out there and laid an egg and looked uncomfortable and looked like he didn't belong on a football field with a bunch of other pro players and the offense was too big for him in the moment, he wouldn't be with the ones right now, because you wouldn't give him that promotion without him, to a degree, looking like he belonged in that position. So I would say, yeah, how he performed, not that it was something stellar that you'd write home to mom about and say, oh my gosh, this was something out of Texas A&M. We didn't see that, but we saw shades of what he could become.
We certainly did, Gerard, and it was, there was that kind of excitement, the ability, the runs on display, his ability to make plays with his legs, throw on the run, put pressure on defense with the read option, seemed to bring a little bit of energy to the offense, wouldn't you say?
I certainly would agree with that, and I like how you guys describe what Brian Hoyer basically has been seen as: calm and steady. There's nothing wrong with calm and steady, because believe me, you don't want a guy being erratic and crazy. I take calm and steady. So Brian Hoyer, no knock against him. But yeah, he was calm, and Johnny, when he was out there running around doing what he does, it solicits more excitement. It just does.
So taking us to topic number two, what do you think this means to the whole Brian Hoyer thought process here? Because we know what this guy is all about, and he really hasn't given us anything different. But do you think that in any way, is it cast in a different light? Did he do anything in your mind on his part to close this gap?
Johnny or Brian?
I'm sorry, Brian.
Brian, really, one, he's playing against a defense that has an advantage right now, and he's still trying to get a chemistry and rhythm with his playmakers. And obviously what you want to see happen is that he elevates their game. That's really what Brian's going to have to do. Elevate the guys around him, get them in the right position to succeed. And if he can do that and complete passes in the process and make the right checks at the line of scrimmage, that's going to be invaluable to him being a starter come opening day. Because the one thing, as I heard you and Nathan discuss, why you don't necessarily want to be gung-ho about putting Johnny out there is that Dick LeBeau is going to throw everything in the kitchen sink and then another sink at him, being if it's Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer as well. And you wonder who would be more adjusted to that type of approach. And I'd have to right now lean on Brian Hoyer being the guy who will get the adjustments and understanding that, hey, if that's not there, I could check to this, and all about the pre-snap read and what you should and should not do. So Brian's going to have the edge on that for at least a year or two. But obviously what you have to look at with Johnny is, wow, he has the ability to extend plays. And if the guys can't initially get open, his ability to stay alive will eventually cause them to be open.
Exactly. And I think that's when you have a receiver group that is not as, you know, experienced really as ours is, or certainly as talented at this point, or have the requisite size, et cetera. Somebody who can help buy plays or buy time to make plays certainly can help at quarterback. But I thought Brian Hoyer certainly made some good throws. You know what you're going to get with him, and that is steady, which is probably why he will ultimately end up starting week number one against Pittsburgh. But this defense, Gerard, specifically this defensive backfield, I think is loaded with talent, and I think Ray Farmer's toughest decisions are going to come there. What did you see from that group at Family Day?
Oh, they were solid. You saw no receivers truly wide open. Isn't that refreshing? You saw them pretty much tightly covered, and that's what you want. It was you had to force it into tight windows, and that's what you want out of your defense, especially when people are second guessing a receiving core and whether or not they are legitimate enough to handle the pressure what's going to be applied to them. So yeah, the defense definitely did their deal, and I was impressed. I watched Gilbert. I isolated him a few times, and I love his footwork and how he didn't go with false reads and things of that nature. Just from a technical standpoint, very impressed with that young man as well.
Gerard Cherry joining us again. Three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ. We do it every Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gerard, the whole Josh Gordon story, obviously another front and center item for us. And looking at, we're now days away from this team taking the field for its first preseason game, and the situation remains unsettled. What do you make of this? And especially, again, looking at it from a team perspective, I think Mike Pettine kind of bites his tongue almost to the point where it's bleeding, because I don't think as a head coach you can feel like you're being dealt fairly when this thing just hangs over your head, and here it is the Monday before you as a head coach are making your debut in the preseason and your best player's future still hangs in the balance and you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, it's got to be beyond frustrating for Mike Pettine. He's like, man, cut me a break. I'm a rookie head coach. Have some sympathy for me. And it doesn't look like the NFL is giving him that. And I'm looking at the situation, Vic and Nathan, I'm saying to myself, the gray area for this outcome and the determination of what to actually say and do by the NFL must be the size of a gray whale, because normally it's cut and dry. Bam, bam, boom, black and white. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what was going to be administered. And we have not seen that, because if I'm not mistaken, they met over 10 hours, Harold Henderson and Josh Gordon and his what would be the best way to say, his representatives.
Yeah.
So if after 10 hours, there's still more to talk about and more to cover, let you know that this is not a black and white situation, which bodes well, I think, for Josh.
I certainly hope it bodes well for him. I think it does, because when you see this team outside of Miles Austin, obviously Andrew Hawkins in the slot.
Hey, don't forget about Willie Snead.
I like Willie Snead. He's been making a lot of plays. There's no question about it. He stood out, I think, from what has been a fairly mediocre performance, I think, from this wide receiver group. Do you think their work there is done if Josh Gordon is suspended? Does somebody else need to be brought in your opinion? How do you see that group shaking out?
Yeah, you will just have to do that, take a flyer on someone just to see, and you'll look more than likely at a team that has a loaded group of wide receivers and pull from that organization. So I definitely see moves being made if Josh Gordon's not out there. Heck, moves may be made if Josh Gordon is still here. But I have my eye on Willie Snead as well. I watched him at Ball State, and I was impressed with the young man, how he played there. So he may be a long shot, but you never know, man. Maybe he could be our Victor Cruz.
Maybe he could be, indeed.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Gerard.
Take care, guys.
All right, talk to you next Monday. Every Monday, that's what we do. We get three good topics with the three-time Super Bowl champion. Of course, you will catch him right after this show in about 15 minutes with Bruce Hooley. Hooley and Gerard following this show right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. All right, we've got more coming up. We'll get into some of your tweets. Got some good ones from you. Nathan and I will be reading those next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.